If you love like Hollywood teaches us, you don't even know what love is. Until you know the love of God, you'll never know. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul is ending his book with this church. And he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we commanded you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Father God, we just come before you today, and Lord, it is so obvious that your presence is here in this place. God, I ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in and out each one of these pews, Lord, touching each and every heart today with the Spirit of the Lord individually as they need. God, I thank you, Lord, that we're not a number and we're not a mass. We are individuals in your sight. You know each and every one of us, God. Lord, you have a plan for our life, a plan to do good towards us, a plan to prosper us, God, and we messed up your plan. But Lord, I'm so thankful that with repentance and some guidance from you, Lord, we can get back on the path, God, that blesses our life. So Lord, we're looking for your path. We pray, God, to enlighten our eyes today to see the hand of God that's always been there in our life, trying to lead us. Father, we worship you. We praise you. I'm so thankful that you are El Shaddai, the God that brings us strength, Lord. You are a strong and mighty God, and I thank you. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think Renee quoted this verse already, but John chapter 13:35 says, "By this all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you talk Christianese, if you say glory to God, hallelujah, once in a while, if you speak in tongues. Are you dropped to your knees in Walmart to give him praise? That's not it, folks. "By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you love one another." Could we have messed that up anymore in the New Testament church? We've got to get back to the original, right? We got to get it back. You know, when he talked about black and white America, he's right. And there should be no schism. Let the world do what they want to do. If they want to fight among color, let them fight, but not in the house of God. So I get to thinking about that, and I think, God, do we even know what love is? We'll talk about it. Paul is ending his letter, and he's trying to encourage them, trying to comfort them, because the church at Thessalonica was suffering great persecution. But so was Paul. Paul was in the city of Corinth, which was a wicked city. And so he was going through a difficult time too. Paul could have been whiny and saying, "Oh, just think about me. Why don't you send me an offering? Or why don't you do this? I'm so, you know, I'm hurting. I don't have enough food. I got this." He never, ever, ever complained. He said, "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I'll become all things that I might win some." Amen. So he asked this church, he said, "Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me?" And then he tells them what to pray for. He did not ask for personal comfort. He did not ask for money. He didn't say, "Pray for my health." He said this, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. I want you to know, when you find the divine purpose for your life, that's when God will take over in a mighty way. Does that make sense to you? Paul found it. Paul knew what he was created to be. And that was a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. He knew that God placed him on this earth to do a specific task. And that was take this gospel to the Gentiles. So therefore, the loneliness didn't bother him. The doing without didn't bother him. The persecution didn't bother him. He said, when you pray for me, pray that the word of God would move swiftly through the ministry. My goodness, what an unselfish prayer request. I just think that how selfish am I? You see, one of the things of love is a total unselfishness. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. He gave. At a very high cost, He gave. The more you love, the more you will find that you become less important and others become more important. The more you will sacrifice what you have to make sure someone else has more and has enough. Would this make your top 10? Come on, let's just be honest for a second with each other. If you said, hey Eric, I'm going to make you a list of 10 things that I want you to pray for me for, would this be on the top 10? I dare say it would not. I'm not prejudging you. Yes, I am. I'm judging us all. That the word of the Lord may run swiftly. That the word of the Lord, swiftly out of me. That I would be quick to share the gospel. That I would be quick to tell people of the love of Christ. Whether I'm in Walmart or Kroger or pumping gas or in the church house, let it be quick that I would mention the name Jesus. Amen. I think that's powerful. And that He would be glorified. He would be praised. Do you realize how much stuff we do so we would look good? Well, I wonder if people would know if I gave a couple $100 to this. Guess what? You just got your reward. Jesus doesn't reward it because you already got it. You got it thinking that people are going to think a little better of you. I think we probably do that a whole lot more than what we think. How many love it when your name is mentioned in a public place? Brag on me a little. Speaking of bragging on somebody, I led worship for 25 years. The hardest month to lead worship is December. Christmas songs are hard to lead, and especially hard to have a worship. But I'm going to tell you, the anointing of God is upon you to lead worship. And even Christmas songs. Treva, that was precious. Number two, he says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Why? Why? So he could preach the word swiftly and let Jesus be glorified. That's exactly right. But is that an unreasonable request? If it is, then Jesus messed it up too. Because that's part of the model prayer that He taught us to pray. Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from temptation. You know, about 10 years ago, I was praying and seeking the Lord and studying that prayer, and I come across that, deliver us from temptation. And I thought, God, I don't pray that for me. I don't pray that for you. And I was convicted immediately. Lord, that needs to be part of my prayer for me, for my wife, for my family, my boys, for you, my extended family. God, deliver us from the temptation of the evil one. Now you remember James brought it through and he says, God does not tempt you with evil. Right? It's not God that tempts you. Some people think God tempts you so you'll see how strong you are. No, that's not true. The devil tempts you because he wants you to fall. The second thing I see here is Paul reminds them that the Lord is faithful. And I don't think we can hear this enough. I don't think we can talk about this enough. I don't think we can pray this or praise this enough. God, you are faithful. He's faithful. He will establish you and he will guard you from the evil one. What does it mean, he will establish you? It means he will give you a new foundation in which to build your life. He will establish you. He will establish your home as a godly home, your marriage, your business, your person. You see, the best of man always blows it. The best thing that we can do, the way of man, the Bible says, the end is destruction. If you build your house on your best thoughts, you're building it on something that's going to fail. But when we let Him establish us, when we let Him establish our home, our marriage, our children, let Him establish us, then we are built on the rock of Jesus Christ. The storms of life will come. I promise you the storms of life will come. But when you're built on the rock, nothing gonna move you. Because you are solidified. You are solid in Jesus Christ. And he says he will establish us and he will guard us. I sometimes see the Lord is hovering over me. I don't know if you see that, but you know, we get different pictures in our mind. And sometimes I just see like the Lord is just like I'm hovering over this bush. And the devil is throwing his little fiery darts and maybe he's trying to hurt me. I see this a lot of times in my car, especially when I'm letting Treva drive. We're in the wrong lane, going the wrong way. And where's Sister Terry at? Is she here today? She can testify with me. Sometimes we drive in the wrong lane, don't we, Terry? That's not a turn lane, Treva. Get over! Thank God he was hovering over our little car that night. But I see the Lord, I hope you see this, I see the Lord hovering over you. And Satan's trying his best to get at you. And it's like Jesus or God is swatting flies. Get out of here. Get out of here. See, we don't know what doesn't happen to us. We only know the things that do happen to us. How many things have tried to take you out that God was like there, get out of here. You're not touching him. I'm protecting my own. You remember when your kids were small? It's what you did. That mama bear would come out of you, right? Somebody trying to get your cub. It's the most dangerous you'll ever be in the wild. If you get too close to a bear's cub or an animal's cub, they will come at you, right? Even the nonviolent ones. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says there's no temptation that's taken us except that's common to man. I sometimes think that my trials are my trials and I'm the only one to go through this hard time. It's just not true. The Word of God says they're common to man. The things that you go through, I go through. How much stronger would we be if we encouraged each other? Hallelujah. I know where you're at, brother. Praying for you. Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. He'll get you through it. Stand tight with him. He says, but God is faithful. Come on, would you say that with me? But God is faithful. Say it one more time. But God is faithful. Woo, that's powerful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know, I often think, Lord, you must think I'm more capable than I think I'm capable, because this is a big temptation. This is a big thing that I'm going through. In John chapter 17, verses 15 and then verse 20, when Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, he prayed for his disciples, but he didn't pray for his disciples alone. He also prayed for you. He says, I do not pray, listen to this, Jesus, I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. God, let them live this life, just protect them while they're here. And then verse 20 is what he prays for you. And he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who is that? That's us. That we would go through it. That we would know in our heart that God is faithful. That he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your what you can accomplish. God is faithful. You just need to rehearse that. God, you're faithful. I don't care what my body says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what this trial says. I don't care what Satan is whispering in my ear. I declare you're faithful. Then he goes on and he says, we have confidence in the Lord. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you. You know, confidence can be based on a couple of things. Confidence can be based on faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right? It's based in the Word of God. I can have confidence that what God spoke, I can have. But faith or confidence can also be fear-based. You need to listen to me. You see, when something happens to you, when you get a bad report, when things don't go right, when there's some bad trial you're going through, Satan begins to talk a lot. He begins to play things out in your mind, in your ear. And he speaks to you, and he says things like this. This one's going to take you out. This is how you're going to die. Do you know you're going broke? You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car. You're going to lose everything that you have comfort in. You're going to lose it because you're a loser. Satan tells you negative things, and we sit there and meditate on it. Oh, I see how that can work. Oh, that's a bad picture. You see, you can have confidence in your fear, or you can have confidence in your faith. I choose faith. I have to deny the fear all the time. I have to quote that scripture to me, God, you've not given me the spirit of fear, but a love, power, and a sound mind. I have confidence in God. Confidence is what connects us to Him. Confidence, which could be said to be another word for faith. Confidence connects us to Christ, which then declares that He is faithful to do. I love Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing. Hear the word he used? Being confident of this very thing. You've been serving the Lord a long time? Been serving the Lord a short time? Listen. Being confident of this very thing. That he who began a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Until the day he comes back. I am confident he doesn't start a work in you to run away. He doesn't start a work so that you can take it over. He starts the work that he will finish in you. You don't get anything because you're good. You don't get anything because of merit. Because we're not that good. We don't deserve anything. We get everything by grace. By the grace of God. Paul, in that last verse, he states, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Hallelujah. I know this is a basic lesson to many of you, but folks, it doesn't get any deeper than this. Now, if I could say this to each one of you individually, I would just bring you up here and say, "Now may the Lord direct you into the love of God." Because I don't think we get it. I don't think we understand fully how much He loves us. That's Old Testament and New Testament. The thoughts that He has concerning you are more numerous than the sand on the shore, is what He says. He says your name is inscribed upon the palms of His hand. You're not a number. God knew you when you were conceived. Before your mama and daddy ever knew you, when they declared that you were a mistake, no, you're not a mistake. God says, "Let it be." He knew you. He created a plan for you. Oh, that we would know the love of God. How precious. 1 John 4:9 through 11 says, "In this the love of God was manifested towards them, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation." Then what in the world is that? "For our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God loved us so much that He sent His Son to be the propitiation for you. Most of you sitting in this room says, "What in the world is a propitiation?" It's the atoning sacrifice. See, when sin came in the world, God had to judge it. And the wrath of God would be poured out and will be poured out against sin one day. And you cannot pay for it yourself. There was nothing pure enough. The sacrifice of animals covered your sin, but it did not remove it. But when Jesus came as a baby and lived this life and died on that cross, He became a propitiation for you, the atoning sacrifice that removed the wrath of God off your life. God's not angry with you anymore. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and quit feeling guilty. Quit feeling shame. He paid all that. But we don't understand that. We don't understand that He gave His life so I could live free. Free from the wrath of God. I know that's an old message, but does it get any better than that? Man. You see, it all starts with understanding what He did for you. How can we... See, I titled this sermon, "That All May Know." How can all know until we know? Until we know the love of God, how can we share that with others? How can people see that in us? You know, often we still live under the bondage. You know, Christ didn't save you that you would live in bondage. He saved you to go free. I sometimes think we sometimes feel so guilty over our sins. And I really believe that it baffles God. that he's looking at us saying, what are you talking about? What sin? I told you one man a couple months ago, he came, we were talking together. When he first got saved, he went to his pastor. Pastor Randy, a Church of Christ minister, was a Church of Christ minister in our Sulphur Wells here. He went to him, he said, Pastor Randy, or Randy, he said, I can't get over some of my sin. I just can't get past some of the things that I've done in my life. This man didn't get saved young, so he had a past. Randy, a minister, moved by the Holy Spirit, I believe, he said this. He said, which one of your sins is too great that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive? And this gentleman, his name is Jim, he said, well, when you put it that way, none. He said, that's exactly right. So I don't care what you've done. And he doesn't either. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. It's universal, guys. There's not a perfect person in here. There's not a person in here that has not sinned and that death is not the consequence for. Except that he became my propitiation. He became my atoning sacrifice. That says, Eric, you don't have to take your sin anymore. You don't have to carry this. I'll carry it. Talk to me about the love of God. That when I didn't even know Him, according to Romans 5:8, when I was an enemy, when I hated Him, He loved me. I wasn't so good. And I didn't choose Him. I didn't wake up one day and said, this would be the smartest thing I could do is to serve Jesus. What happened is Jesus threw out a hook and said, I'm going fishing today for a big boy. I'm going fishing for Eric Kelleher. Bite. Bite. And I bit. And he began to reel me in. You see, he chose me. I didn't choose him. And he chose you. And he chose you. Chose every one of us. Jesus wants all men to come to repentance. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul writes this. He said, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, in love? Yes, in the love of Christ. May be able to comprehend with all saints. Now listen to this. He wants us to comprehend this love. What's the width and the length? Doesn't this sound like a little kid saying, I love you this much. I love you to the moon. My youngest son used to say, I love you to the moon and back. Man, that's precious. That's good things to remember. That you would know the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You know, I found that the first two things that Jesus came to bring on the earth, right? Hope and love, and eventually we'll get to peace. And you know, every one of them says it passes knowledge. In other words, you're not going to figure this thing out. You're not going to really figure out the love of God because it's bigger than your little head. You just have to accept it as being real. And the closer you draw to Him, the more you realize how much He loves you. And what do you get when you get that? The fullness of God. I'm so sad that Christians stop at salvation. It's like we get saved and we think, oh, I'm saved. I'm going to set my butt on this church pew and ain't nothing ever going to happen to me. And Jesus is like, no, no, no. We're just starting our adventure. We're just starting this journey at salvation. Now I want to show you great things. Can I show you the fullness of God? It's like Jesus saying, you need to see my glory. Remember that? Remember the guy that says, Jesus, God, I just want to see you. And he said, no, you can't see me. No man can see me and live. But he hid him in the cleft of the rock. He put him back. And he said, now I'm going to pass in front of you. And I'll let you see my hinder parts. I'll let you see my backside. You can't see my face, but I'll let you see my backside. And when God passed by and Moses looked and saw the backside of God, he glowed for like 40 days to the point when he came back to the children of Israel, they had to put a bag over his head. That's probably... I'm not even going to comment on that. I'm going to leave that alone. Have you ever met anybody that would shine with the glory of God? I have too. I've met people that just inspire you to get to know Him better. They don't have to say much. They just bring an inspiration to your life. You know what it is? God's not a respecter of persons. But they're walking in more fullness than you are. We all have a little longer to go. A little more to go. Let's push on to know the Lord. So how does this love affect us? I got to pick up my speed. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 39 says this. They said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, the greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. How does the love of God affect us? It makes us love the unlovable. It gives us patience. For people that we may not be able to tolerate otherwise. You ever worked with somebody like that? It's pushed all your buttons? It's the love of God that will allow you to love the unlovable. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 17, I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. I want you to really look at it. It starts in the King James and says, let love be sincere. You know, people can tell when love is fake. They can tell when you're putting on your Christian face. And they can tell when it's genuine. So listen to the Message Bible. He says, love from the center of who you are. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. That's good, wise advice. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. I could preach a sermon on that right there. How much we want to be first place. And love says, you go first. Hey, you know what? I'm going to let your light shine. I'm just going to back you up and make you look good. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflamed. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. I wish the church would get that one. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. I am so convicted. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be a stuck-up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Isn't that great? That's sincere love. Love people that can't love you back. Love people that can't help you, that have no means to give you something back in return. Love them. I want you to know the love of God. You see, I had nothing to offer Him, and you didn't either, but He loved me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You knew I had to get to this, right? Again, I want to read it out of the Message Bible. And I know some of you don't like the Message Bible. I'm not crazy about it, but sometimes it's just, you know, a man wrote this for his children. Did you know that's how it came by? A man wanted his children to understand the Bible, so he wrote the Message Bible. I think it has worth. It says this, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for yourself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. I like that. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sin of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. Doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God. Always, always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And then Peter come along in chapter 4, verse 8, and he said, love covers a multitude of sin. In Sunday school, we were talking to a few guys, and we're talking about husbands love their wives. And right there is what love is. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't keep record of wrong. It sacrifices. It says, I'm sorry when you need to. Oh, the love of God. That was my mother's favorite song, The Love of God. Paul said, I want you to know His love. I want you to get it. I want you to get how deep it is. How wide it is. The length and the breadth of the love of God. You see, if you understand the love of God, it will change your life like nothing else will. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much discipline you have in your life. Well, I get up, Pastor, every day at 4 o'clock and I read the Bible for an hour. I pray for the next hour. Yeah, but how much do you love? You're intolerant to people because you think you're so good. You're so far away from the love of Christ. Oh, that you would know the love of God. Isn't that a mighty statement? Would you stand with me? You know, understanding the love of God starts at salvation. I heard one guy explaining this one time. And he said, you know, the gospel means good news, right? We're to share the gospel. We're to share the good news. He said, you know, the good news always starts with a little bad news first. Right? The bad news is you're a sinner. Every one of us. We're sinners. See, we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve hell. Do you know hell was not ever created for us? It was created for Satan, not for us, not for man. The bad news is you deserve it. The good news is He bore it. He paid your price. Oh, that you know the love of God. See, this is what salvation is. Salvation literally means soundness. There's somebody in this room that thinks you're going crazy. You think you're doing everything you can just to hold it together. You think your brain is just so rattled your thoughts are so random and running about. And Satan's whispering in your ear, you're about to lose it. I told you you're going to. Salvation, soundness. When you put on the helmet of salvation, these thoughts can come together in unity where He brings peace to your soul. Isn't that good? I wasn't planning on saying that today, but I think somebody needs to hear it. You're not going crazy. You're not losing it. That's just Satan trying to rattle your cage. You know what you need? You need to put on your helmet of salvation to bring that soundness to your thoughts. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's His promise to you. He brings soundness to your thoughts. Salvation is so much more than just escaping hell. I'm thankful. Buddy, I'm thankful we get to escape hell. We don't have to be judged by God because Jesus took our judgment. Praise the Lord is right. But there's so much, it goes so much deeper. He wants to change your life and bring health to you in every way, mentally, physically, emotionally. Oh, that you would know the love of God. I know some of you think you know it. Sometimes I think I know it. And then all of a sudden God shows me another little aspect of how much He loves me. And I say, oh Jesus, it just keeps getting deeper. It gets better. What's that old song? It gets sweeter as the days go by. Isn't that true? For those of you who've been serving the Lord a long time, isn't that true? It just gets sweeter as the days go by. The Lord and I. Hallelujah. Sweeter. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Savior, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, would you lead me in prayer? We're not going to embarrass you, but we want to pray for you today. Pastor, remember me when you pray. Anyone here at all? How many would say, Pastor, I haven't been living like a Christian. I haven't been walking in that love of God. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me that I would comprehend the love of God more, that it would be part of my life? Amen. Amen. I see hands all over the place. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before You today. We're so thankful. God, I think that I can say this. I'm thankful that I don't fully comprehend the love of God, because now I get to grow in it. It's like opening Christmas gifts all through the year. You just get better and better and keep giving us things. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I know my mind can't understand You. You're so much bigger than my little mind. But Lord, I long to know You. I long to be intimate with You. God, I pray for every person in this room that lifted their hand that said, I want to go deeper in the love of Christ. I want to know more about Him every day of my life. I want to be able to sing that old song, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Right now, their life might not be real sweet, but Lord, as Your presence moves into their life, I pray Your sweetness comes along with it. Alleviate our trouble. Alleviate and take away the things that Satan has meant to bind us. The trouble, the discouragement, the scrambling of our thoughts, I say in Jesus' name, be gone. And let your presence come into our hearts and our minds. God, I thank you for the love of God. I thank you, Lord, that the more I know, the more the world will know, because they'll see it in me. God, I pray that our churches would get better at loving each other. Help us not to strut. Help us to play second fiddle. Help us to let others shine. Help us to love like you loved. God, I pray for every husband in this place. Lord, never in your word do you tell the wife to love their husband, but you tell the husband to love his wife. And God, I pray that you would help us in this area. God, it's a growing area for us. And I pray, God, that you would show what it's like for a husband to love and to lay down his life for his wife. That we would sacrifice ourselves, that she would do better. God, let love be real. Let it be sincere for the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So good to have you today. Brother Denny is out, and he's watching his nephew be baptized today in over around Dover. So I'm going to have to do the blessing, and Wednesday night I just really, really messed that thing up. So you pray. Raise your hand with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you, folks.